Hello, mamas. Welcome to another episode of Moms of the Night podcast. It's so good to be together today, tonight, whenever you're listening to this. I am excited about this episode because it's really impactful. It's quite powerful, actually. I got in touch with Megan. She applied to be on the podcast, and I was immediately drawn to her application and things that she said in it, and knew that I wanted to have her on. And I'm so glad that she was with me today and was so vulnerable in sharing her story and how that's impacted her as a mother. So today we sat down, we chatted about motherhood, the relationships, and how relationships change when you become a mother and a parent. And then she goes into her childhood and childhood trauma and what it was like growing up with parents that quite literally broke her and she no longer has a relationship with. And I know a lot of you can relate and will find solidarity and something that resonates with this. It's an extremely powerful message. Some of it really hard to understand and comprehend, just knowing the moms that we are. But to hear her story of, just going through that, but then the redemption from it and the person she is today, the mom she is now, we get into kind of how she has chosen to mother and cycle break as she figures out the parent and the mother she wants to be for her children. And we also talk about just different parenting styles and how some of our childhood traumas can show up in how we parent our children and different influences that go into that. It's a really, really cool episode. I love the way the conversation unfolded, and I know you will too. So Megan is just a mama. And she is a business owner. She has the most amazing activewear and loungewear company called Empower Her Fit. And you best believe after this conversation, I went on the website and purchased some items, and I'm so excited to try them on. I will let you know how much I love them when they arrive. And I can't wait for you to hear more of her story. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Megan. Hi, friend. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here and just having interest to have a conversation with me. I'm always so honored when people reach out and they have a topic on their heart that they want to discuss. And I was just so compelled by what you wanted to chat about. And I think it's really important that we touch on these subjects. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited that I found you and I found your podcast. So I can't wait to dive in and be able to hopefully touch some women that I otherwise wouldn't know.
Yeah, I also want to say and like take a moment for a massive milestone that you're having personally today. And I feel so honored that I get to be part of this day with you. So do you want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll even be sharing about it a little later to go kind of more in depth. But to give you the highlight reel, today is my remission anniversary, 8 years cancer-free, Yay! Completely healthy. So, so excited to be here. And I really do feel like I'm at a point of thriving, not just surviving, not just living,
that
but
is amazing.
Thriving. Yeah.
I am celebrating you today and always. Like, again, I'm just so honored that I get to be with you on such a special day. That is a huge, huge milestone, and I can't wait to hear more about your journey and what that's been like for you, but so powerful. I'm so happy that you're here with us today. But let's get into you and your story a little bit, because I want you to be able to give a little intro about who you are and yourself and kind of your motherhood journey and what it looks like right now. So do you want to just give us a little glimpse into your world?
So I'm Megan. I am the owner and designer of Empower Collective. I am a mom to an almost three-year-old. Next month on Valentine's Day, she'll be three. And I'm 18 weeks pregnant with our second baby girl on the way. I'm originally from Virginia Beach on the East Coast, and I've been in Minnesota for about 4.5 years now. I moved here with my husband after we met at the gym, actually, back home while he was stationed in Virginia Beach in the Navy. He's from here. So that's what brought me back to Minnesota. Entering motherhood and simultaneously growing my two businesses has been an absolute wild ride. I lost my job back in 2020 when COVID first hit. And I had an option and opportunity to either find a mundane 9-to-5 that I'd most likely not be passionate about and not enjoy, or I could take the leap and finally start my own business. It's been on my heart to start a business that specializes in working with and helping women since I was about 18 years old, but I never knew how to do that or what steps to take to even get close to it. So I went with the second option, of course. I started out with getting my personal training certification and filing my very first LLC. That's Empower Fit. So it's a coaching business where I specialize in working with women. And 3 short days later, I took a positive pregnancy test and found out that our first daughter, Blakely, was on her way. And since then, I've extended my education. I have 3 additional certifications around nutrition, habits, and pre- and postnatal specialty. I've had the absolute honor of working with over 150 women in the last 3 years. And after I became a mom on that Valentine's Day back in 21, I found so quickly that none of my favorite brands fit me right anymore for active and loungewear. I've been a gym rat for well over 10 years previous to entering motherhood. And I began designing. I kind of told one of my clients one day, I think I'm going to start an apparel brand. And she just kind of looked at me like, okay, that's interesting. That's an interesting take. And it took about a year of designing and working out all of the logistics, sampling everything. And I launched Empower Apparel in February of 22. So we will be 2 years old next month. Super duper exciting. My goal is to thoughtfully design apparel that is made for bodies that have been through it all and can do it all. And if that doesn't describe a mom, I don't know what does. And with each piece I design, I aim to solve issues in women's activewear one seam at a time. That's kind of my current tagline with the business. Now to dive more into motherhood. It's been, like Forrest Gump would say, like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. But really, motherhood's been the biggest learning experience. It's been filled with challenges, blessings, and more love than I know what to do with personally. 3 years in, I've learned boundaries and grace to extend to myself, my husband, and my daughter. And, you know, we're all doing this for the first time. Nothing is super pretty on that first try. So really realizing that. And I'm doing my very best to show up as the best me I can be for my family. And that looks different on each and every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just, like you said, that first try, nothing is pretty. It's so true because we're all new to this, you know? We're new to the motherhood experience. We're new to our baby. Our baby is new to us. I remember talking to my husband about that and being like, this baby is like a stranger to us. Like, yes, it's our baby, but it's a stranger. We don't know this person. This person doesn't really know us. Like, we're trying to mesh lifestyles here. And I feel like no one really talks about that aspect of it, like the newness of everything and how you have to adapt to each other and figure out what life looks like now that you have this like new little human. And did you find that really hard to adapt to? What was your lifestyle like before? I know you said that your husband, like obviously you guys have, you moved here and you started this business. Like, how does that look like for you both when you became a mom, and then have you found a flow now?
Yeah, so it was definitely a transition. I have only ever had to worry about myself, and that's most people that haven't had to be in a caretaker role until we become parents. My husband and I, our timeline is kind of crazy. Like, we were just talking about it, how we were like, man, that could have gone really bad. We met in March of 2019 back home, and we moved here the last week of June in 2019. Wow. So I had only known this man for a mere couple of months. Yeah. Moved across the country. I had been itching so bad to get out of my hometown. I needed to heal. I needed space from a lot of things that had happened there. And we met, and really, when I say the stars aligned, the stars, every single one of them aligned. So we moved here in June, basically July of 2019. Right around the corner was our marriage. We got married in November of 2019, a sort of, hey, you want to do this? Sure, let's go do it. And we threw together an outdoor wedding in the end of November. And from there, we did the, you know, playing married for a little bit. Nothing serious happened for a couple of months. And then we started trying for a family. We got pregnant. We started my first business and bought a house. So I think if it's, what is it, five or six of the major stresses in life that you'll go through with a spouse or partner. And I think we did all of them within about an 18 to 24 month period. Yeah. That definitely took a huge toll on our relationship. I am so just floored about how much we've both grown as individuals and together now. But we definitely went through a lot when it came to having my daughter and introducing that new stranger that's up at 3 a.m. in the house. And as beautiful as they are, and we love them so much, it is such a chapter of transition, sacrifice, and adapting. So I do think we have a routine now, but we're due in June. So talk to me, you know, the end of this year, and we'll see how we're doing.
Yeah. When that starts over, been there, living it. And yeah, it's definitely different. You have to find a new normal. You do. Like, you just adapt, and it's scary. And there are things where, you know, you're like, what did we do? Or how are we going to make this work? And then now, I mean, we're almost 7 months in. Like, you do eventually find a flow. And like we talked about in the beginning, like, every day is different and adapting. But I find it really interesting, your story, when you mentioned that you went through like all the major stressors in a short period of time, because my husband and I were the same in the fact that we went through building a house, getting engaged, getting married, going through three pregnancy losses, having a baby, losing my mom, having his mom diagnosed with cancer, like all these things in, I mean, our 2020 to 2022 was absolutely insane. But we had been together for 8 to 10 years prior to that. So I feel like we had the opportunity to grow and evolve and learn how each other grew and evolved each time, and we're committed in that, like, we've been through hard things before, so we're gonna keep, you know, staying locked arm in arm and figure this out. Now, was that different when you're in your scenario, you guys were like still kind of getting to know each other, you had a quicker marriage, went into babies? When you talk about a strain that a child can have in a relationship, like, obviously it's a beautiful connector, but comes with a lot of challenges. When you have somebody who, you know, you haven't known as long, does that look different? Like, did you guys have a hard time, like, you were still getting to know each other in this process of also bringing a kid into the mix? Or did you just feel like this was such a natural flow for us and we just made it work, and you just, like, kind of go head on into this parenthood?
It's a great
process.
Question. I feel like there's kind of layers to it, and a little bit of everything that you just said is the answer. We're keeping it real around here. My husband and I, we almost were talking divorce after a year, year and a half into parenting. There was just we were young in general too. I should have mentioned that. We were 22 or 23 when we met, and then jumped into all of those things, neither having an idea of what that responsibility looked like, what even being a wife looked like, or a really good, solid life partner. I had no idea. Yeah. Neither did he. So we had our young and very immature marriage, and that was built on a lot of really fun times, a lot of really, you know, serious times, and moving across the country is no small feat, and doing all of the other things that we did. But when you have a child, and you both love that child, of course, but a lot of the stress that comes along with that love, it really wore on us and almost started to divide us, because we weren't communicating. We were not talking to each other about it. We didn't know how to talk to each other. My husband is of a the military mindset is the best way to put it, and very like bro kind of mindset. We're talking about your feelings is not what you do. You just kind of hunker down, deal with it, get through it. We both had a lot of resentment towards each other about a variety of things, but it had built up because we didn't know how to talk to each other. Yeah. So there was a lot of, as the primary parent, I felt like I'm doing everything. Like I'm doing it all over here. I'm the one up in the middle of the night. And my nursing journey is a whole different thing, but pumping was not working for me. So I was the only option when she needed to eat, was me to physically be there. So I have a lactation consultant this time. I have my village for this pregnancy.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yes,
such a
but
blessing.
That did create a lot of extra time and responsibility on my back. There, you know, it really was a challenge. I'm so thankful that we were able to work through it and that we've both grown our mindset, our maturity, and just going through life that we have gone through together now. But it definitely presented a ton of challenges that I think if we didn't have the mindset of wanting to work through it together, we had every opportunity to give it up and just go co-parent. That roommate stage is one that I feel like people don't always talk about or acknowledge because maybe they feel embarrassed or they feel like they're the only ones going through it with their spouse or partner. But it's so normal to have a division after you give birth and you have that stranger again crying at 3 a.m. and keeping you up all hours of the night. But also we as women have that hormone dump, what the minors called it, the hormone roller coaster, where we are biologically different during that time. And just in general, you might not look exactly the same in the way you act or physically, whatever, but the way you act to your partner as you did that fun loving young girl at the bar, the girl that was at the gym focusing on her fitness. And now I'm sitting here in a postpartum diaper crying and I don't even know why. And that's just one example. Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally. And I feel like you're tossing this new person into the relationship, living a completely different lifestyle, or at least trying to figure out what life looks like. You're both tired, one or both of you are working. So, there's just these added layers of stress. And then you realize that you have to relearn each other. And that is something I was not really prepared for. Like I felt like I was changing so rapidly and I couldn't even figure out who I was in the process, but I expected him to know, who I was and vice versa. And that caused, I feel like, a lot of resentment. And yeah, you're just in this roommate phase where it's almost easier. You're two ships passing, and because that's what you have to do to survive in some of those moments. And I think you're so right. People don't talk about it because it feels embarrassing. I just remember I have this very vivid memory with one of my best friends. Like we tell everything to one another, and we went and we were sitting on a bench having ice cream. And I know that this was important to me because I remember this so vividly, where I was just asking her like, hey, how are things going? And she said, to be honest, I feel like my husband and I are just roommates. And I just remember this release happening in my body, like, oh, you too? Like, this isn't just me. Like, can we talk about this? Because I feel so alone right now. And I don't know why we put a lot of pressures on ourselves as moms, but I think especially when it comes to our own relationships, and again, social media plays a part into this because all we see is the highlight reels. It's like, are we like the only people struggling with this? Are we, what is happening? Who are we? Who are you? And there's no one to release that with, especially if you're not communicating well with your spouse. But I mean, when it comes to just talking it out with people,
I feel like
about.
The first place we talked about it or really unpacked was in therapy, and that was couples and one-on-one therapy. And that was really what started the gears turning that helped us to grow appropriately and get us to where we needed to be.
Yeah, therapy is powerful. I have said it many times on this podcast, but I am such an advocate because it just brings things out that you maybe wouldn't communicate in the way you would with therapy and just getting the tools to properly communicate. And I feel like we've also really discovered both individually things from our upbringing and stuff like that that brings out certain sides of us and how we react to things, how we parent now, how we're reacting to our child's behavior that have been really eye-opening. Have you guys experienced that as well?
Too relatable with that. We came up in very polar opposite households where my husband grew up very loved. He comes from a household where they are still married and very connected, very tight-knit family. Like, you know, a family dinner or hanging out on a weekly basis is very common. Where I come from, quite the opposite, where I have not spoken to my biological parents in quite a while. This year, this summer, will be 10 years since I've talked to my mom. And it's about 4 years since I last spoke to my dad. That is a whole enchilada in itself to unpack. Should we go there now?
Yeah, let's go there. If you're comfortable, let's go there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to share more with you guys about my childhood. And I feel like it comes up a lot, of course, in parenting. And lately, it's been coming up a lot in my business, whether it's like a conversation that gets started with someone regarding my business, or people talking about goals or growth and leadership, all of these things. I don't think we realize how much our upbringing is intertwined in who we are now, even though it was so many years ago. So I'm going to give you, of course, a brief synopsis. I'm not going to go through every single year or anything like that.
But yeah.
I had a relatively normal childhood at first, but that's really because things were hidden well. I didn't see the infidelity and the division in my parents' marriage until I did. So they, over time, I would be able to overhear things. You know how kids do. I could hear yelling, and then I put my ear to the wall to listen through. And I'm an only child, and neither of my parents had friends because of the controlling dynamic of their relationship. So they both confided in me, and I knew way too much about grown-up problems from a very young age. And I also knew all of their dirty laundry about each other. So it just put me in a very tough position, feeling like their burdens were mine to carry from a super young age. And that kind of goes hand in hand where I was reflecting back, isolated and not nurtured by either of my parents. Mm-hmm. I went to a private school that was about 30 minutes away from my house as well. So my friends I had at school, I only saw at school. I didn't get to see them very much on the weekends, except for an occasional like birthday sleepover maybe or something like that. But I can look back and reflect how that has impacted how much I like to spend alone time, and not necessarily in a great way. But if I'm struggling, I like to be alone. And I did not understand how to accept love, which is a big thing I've realized now in my adult life, and now being safe and loved in my family that I'm creating with my husband. My dad was very emotionally unstable guy, and he often would berate me and tear me down verbally. They divorced, my parents divorced when I was about 15 years old, and it was messy. My dad and I had had a rocky relationship since I was in about seventh grade, and it's very hot and cold, like whiplash back and forth. I do think, and I think it's important to share too, that I believe that there's many mental health issues at play there that he was not being treated for, that in turn affected how he treated me. I like to believe that he did the best he could with what he knew, and I don't agree with it. I don't condone it or promote it, and he is still not in my life to this day because of certain mindsets and things that he believes or the way that he acted. But there would be ways – like one thing that specifically sticks in my mind is that this one week, one day, he would say, "I love you so much. I'm so glad you're my daughter," to a couple of days later saying, "You have no place in this family. You've already lost your mom. Now you're going to lose your dad. Is that what you want? No parents." Very much, guilt tripping. And just these insane things that you don't say. Like there's things we say in moments of anger that you're like, oop, shouldn't have said that. But these were things that it's like that thought must really exist in you to say that. So my dad would often with those verbal, I don't want to say, it felt verbally abusive. It would tear me down and make me feel smaller than a grain of salt a lot of times, especially in those formative years when I'm going through puberty and, you know, about to step into my teenage years and young adulthood, that really had me feeling some kind of way, feeling pretty broken. And then when I was 17, my mom, so this is after the divorce, she had a partner that was very insecure with herself, and she made my mom choose between me and her, and my mom chose her. And I haven't talked to my mom since. And I'm now 27. So this year will be 10 years since my mom left my life. She was my best friend before that, which is like what stung the most or really, really messed with my trust issues, my ability to trust other people when my mother, who was, you know, biologically tied to me, cut it. I just absolutely severed that tie. I actually found a card, and I think it's funny because it's a Valentine's Day card, which is now one of the happiest days of my life because that's when I became a mom, my first daughter's birthday. But it was a card from my mom, and she had wrote in there how she was always going to be my biggest supporter, and she loved me, and she's my biggest fan. And that was 4 months before she decided to just say, get out of my life. Don't talk to me again. So that really affected me as I stepped into adulthood. And as I stepped into the real world, as people call it. And like you might assume, maybe not, I made some really terrible choices as a young adult. I was really desperate for control over my life and feeling like I needed to prove to my parents that I would be someone without them. There's a couple of things that they've said to me over the years as well that really will play like a record in those dark moments, like them saying, I would never be anything without them. They wished that I would have a daughter so that I could have payback. I'm not smart, and wishing things on me just like that I would fall to a teen pregnancy or be a drug addict. Like all of these things that's just like obviously being said to hurt me or to get a rise out of me. So that created this drive in me, I think, to prove them wrong. That wasn't really coming from a healthy place at that time, though. It was purely to prove them wrong, not to actually take care of and do good for myself. So I really found myself with massive amounts of debt trying to prove to them with this car or, oh, I'm living in these apartments. And, you know, they were keeping tabs on me through other people in my family. So I knew that they knew what I was doing. And that was... that was interesting and obviously took a long time to get out of that situation because financials don't just go away. Absolutely. So it got pretty dark shortly after that when I was about 19, 20 years old. I had turned to alcohol, drugs, partying, and men to try to feel happy and to try to fill that hole that my parents had left. And I really was struggling with my mental health so badly that I wanted to end my life on Christmas Eve back in 2018. So I really hit rock bottom in a lot of ways as such a young adult. And again, now that I am where I am, I am so thankful that I'm still here because I never wanted a family. Like I never wanted a chance to mess up like they messed up. I never wanted that responsibility on my back. And ultimately, I think I didn't want to heal because I knew how much work it was going to be to try to crawl out of that hole and feel better. But obviously, I'm here today. Things have really turned around. During that time is when I was diagnosed with cancer at 19. And I've never felt so alone during that time. That is really kind of what started the spiral with my mental health. 1 week prior to my diagnosis, my dad had disowned me once again. That was not the first, second, or fifth time he had done it, but he had completely cut me off communication, support, anything. and he was out of my life. And I told him when I found out I was sick, and then he wanted to be there for me so that he could look like a good dad to other people, to the outside. My boyfriend at the time broke up with me after my diagnosis. Like I said, I was choosing people that were just like my dad. I was really choosing terrible, terrible partners at the time. He said that I was too scared, I was too stressed, and he just couldn't deal with it. And he did try to come back into my life after I went into remission. I'm very excited to say that I did not let him in. That was enough of a, you know, hard stop for me to realize, even in my broken state, like, no, sir, I deserve more than that. And as I told you earlier, today's my remission anniversary. I always try to do something fun and new or different that kind of pushes me out of my comfort zone. So I'm super, super excited to be here with you today and to be talking to all of these moms that might resonate with some part of my story. And I feel like it's important to say too, like, even if you don't resonate with my story, or maybe you come from a childhood that's more like my husband, where he still talks to his parents almost daily and they're there for us, like they've got our back, you can still relate to the motherhood side of it, where this is new, this is different, and it's okay if you're struggling, even if it looks like your parents or your childhood wasn't full of struggle, because a lot of people are really great actors in hiding the struggles from our kids.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Mm-hmm. And first off, I want to hold space for you. Thank you so much for being vulnerable, for sharing the depths of your story. I'm sorry that that was your reality. And again, I just kind of want to hold space for you. And anyone who has dealt with a traumatic childhood, I think it's so hard. I think especially once we become parents and have that child-parent connection, it becomes even harder to understand how a parent could speak, touch, do harmful things to their children. I really have a hard time wrapping my head around it, and I'm sure you've done lots of work on kind of in your healing journey and also now being a mom, what that looks like for you. And I'd love to touch more on that, because I'm sure there's plenty of people now who are cycle breaking and trying to be that person that is going to be a better mom for their child than what they were given. And so what has that shown up like for you? I mean, healing is a process, right? It's not a one and done thing. So as you've been healing from that and also stepped into this motherhood role, how has that trauma impacted how you've chosen to mother?
It has driven the boat sometimes of how I mother on a subconscious level. And that is where the conscious effort comes in. I feel like it's a day-to-day effort, especially as we enter, like, I'm in no way consider myself a pro. I'm only 3 years into this, but the toddler years have presented some new challenges that I wasn't prepared for after a newborn. You know, the talking, the walking, the development of her own personality, it presents a lot of challenges. And growing up in such an angry household where I was screamed at, I was not allowed to express emotion, I was not allowed to cry, sent to my room if I did, it's very hard to not have that knee-jerk reaction with her. Mm-hmm. And that can quickly create a lot of mom guilt. And there's enough mom guilt for any mom out there because of all these different things on social media and societal pressures, whether it's about your parenting style, what you do, what you don't do, how you look, how you talk, how you act. There's endless amounts of things out there to make us feel less than or make us feel inadequate in our motherhood. Again, through therapy, through going to church, I have a mom group at my church that I go to that is incredibly supportive, and they really build us up in our motherhood. And what the choices that you make for your child when you're breaking these generational cycles, just know that every generation's goal is going to be better than the previous one, even if that means something as simple as eating more vegetables. So we're not going to be perfect, and all we can do is be better. That's what I try to remind myself of, because the pressure of perfection is heavy. And I feel like it ultimately induces mistakes, because if you put that much pressure on yourself, you're going to snap. You're going to be overstimulated and overwhelmed. Oh, yeah. So I definitely see my childhood show up the most through moments of tension and moments of anger, mm-hmm. because again, I want to snap. And I am not perfect by any means. I do get angry with my daughter. And what I feel like the win is in that is how I handle it after I accidentally lose it. And mm-hmm. that is sitting her down. I talk to her. I say, mommy should not have yelled at you. I am sorry. Mommy is learning too, just like you're learning. We do her little affirmation words so she knows, like, you know, I'm learning. I'm a toddler. I'm creative. All of these things. So I refer mm-hmm. to the things that she understands about that. And then I tell her, like, I'm going to try to do better. Are you going to try to do better about, like, whatever we're talking about? And she's like, yeah. And I know it's working, because the other night I went to put her down and it had been one of those nights for bedtime of just resilient mm-hmm. defiance of wanting to go to bed and wanting to get ready for bed. So she had yelled at me, and I go to put her in her crib, and I went to go get her a little applesauce. She loves to have a snack right before bed. And I walk back in and she goes, I'm sorry I yelled at you. And I was like, aw, to see her telling me that, like, even if she doesn't fully understand what that means at this age, she's mirroring what I'm doing. So I feel like even though I've made many of the mistakes of yelling at her or getting way too angry and escalating situations, I am still doing better than the generation before me, because I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong. I am willing to tell her and work for her to be better and to work on myself to not have those soft trigger points.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. And it's so interesting too. I'm in the same boat you are, where I feel the most things from my childhood come up in those moments of contention. And I had a different upbringing than you. Like, I felt like I grew up in an amazing home. I had two parents who loved me. We were always supported and whatever. But I did have a dad who was very angry. He mm-hmm. had a very short fuse. He could be very hot and cold. He grew up with in a military family with an alcoholic dad who was very verbally abusive. And he didn't know how to show love, especially to girls. He grew up in a family of boys, and he had all girls. And he didn't know how to show love and compassion. And so, those feelings of crying, sadness, anger, anytime those things would come up, we were immediately shut down or we were punished for feeling feelings. And so that is what I knew. And I didn't realize how strongly that would come up when I started being a mom and dealing with this toddler phase where they have a lot of feelings and mm-hmm. they're going to yell, they're going to cry, they're going to get mad. There's going to be a lot of things that are not logical in their reaction. And it took a lot. But what I found, it's been really interesting because this happened just recently, is that I almost overcorrected because I was so worried about being that parent that then I was like trying to quote unquote gentle parent so much and not realizing that that just wasn't really working for him either. And my husband kind of had to take a step back and be like, I see what you're trying to do, but this isn't working for him either. Like, there's got to be a common ground here where he realizes that there's like a boundary.
Right.
But, you know, which really opened my eyes, because I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, you're right. Like, he does need boundaries for safety. Like, kids need routine. They need to know they're safe. And I was listening to a podcast the other day that was like, I feel like in this stage of gentle parenting, which I think is a step better than what a lot of us have been dealing with, and understanding and defining that for your own parenting style. But he said, you know, kids still need to listen, because if they're not listening to you in the moments that maybe don't matter as much, they're not going to listen to you when it's a matter of their own safety. And that really hit for me, because I was like, oh, you're right. Like, I still need to be a parent, and I need to set a boundary, and I need to find a way where he can listen to me. That doesn't mean I have to utilize, you know, the parenting methods that maybe my dad did, but right. I can still find a method that works for us. And that was so eye-opening to me, because again, it's just those little things that we were growing up with, whether, you know, obviously we still had very different upbringings, but they come up in these parenting situations, and there are certain cycles we want to break, and that can be really hard to navigate, especially in the moment.
I think finding the happy medium is the tough part, because if you experienced very strict parenting, I feel like you want to be the cool parent. Like, I always think of Mean Girls, like the cool mom, yes. the cool mom, yes. whatever, which that has a time and place. And I think it's when our kids are in their 20s, you know, like I look forward to the day yeah. that I can hang out with my daughters and just like kick it. But in the meantime, I've got to play that parent role. I can't always be their friend. I can always love them. Yeah. And that love will be unconditional. And that is where the difference lies between my parents mm-hmm. and myself. I will always, yeah. you know, the gentle parenting is really great to be able to let our children express their emotions and explore themselves. But sometimes it leads into permissive parenting where the kids are running the show. Mm-hmm. And that is where I think the like mix up is, or that like little line that gets mm-hmm. crossed. Because then, like you said, kids need routine. They thrive on that. That's how their brains develop. They like that. Mm-hmm. Even though in the moment when they're a toddler, like you said, they're not logical. I'll literally cry. Mm-hmm. My daughter was crying the other day because I wouldn't let her eat a frozen chicken nugget. I needed to cook it first. I even gave it to her and let her try to eat it. I was like, try it. It's gross. Yeah,
you can try it.
And she was sitting there yeah. gnawing on it like a dog on a bone. And I was like, you're so weird sometimes.
They just don't get it. And it's hard for us to understand, right? Because we're like, that's so not logical. My husband is very logic-minded. He's an accountant. So that's just like his brain.
Yeah.
And so right now with like all the reasonings behind these toddler tantrums, he's like, I don't get it. I'm like, I know we're not supposed to. Like, they're kids.
Yeah. Don't try to make sense of it. You'll drive yourself crazy. Only on occasion while I decide to engage when she's in one of those like – but why? Or like like the dinosaur chicken nugget thing. And I was just like, okay, girl, here, give it a try. Mm-hmm. Give it a try and let them figure it out on their own. Like, you she reluctantly admitted that it wasn't that good. So, you know, we cooked it and then she was able to eat it. But
that's amazing.
I think we forget that too, is like, because we think about our inner child, but we're thinking about it from our adult brain. So like as an adult, we can have that freedom of schedule, mm-hmm. of making quote unquote dumb decisions or whatever, like eating a frozen chicken nugget. Mm-hmm. And that's fine because we've already figured out the basics of life, however we mm-hmm. figured it out through our childhood. But for children, they're still figuring out the basics of basic. Like, they need help and they need guidance to figure that out. And then when they get older, they can, you know, learn in their own ways with making decisions with freedom of their schedule. But I think that that's something that we forget to connect the dots with, is that they are still kids. They still mm-hmm. need us, and they need the structure, which sometimes means being the parent and saying the things that they don't want to hear, or making them follow through with their routines. Of course, not by screaming and berating like our parents might have, but there's other ways to get the work done, get the job done, get your boxes checked for the day. And at the end of the day, your kids get to go to bed knowing that they're loved and cared for. And that's like the biggest win.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And when it comes to, you know, I think about you, you know, you have a daughter and we're dealing with these toddler things and some of these points from our childhood come up. But I also think about when our kids are teens mm-hmm. and if you know, you mentioned in your story all the things you went through in your young adulthood, and do you get nervous for kind of, you know, letting her have her freedom one day, but also, you know, I just hear about all the time parents being like, I don't want you to do what I did, you know, because you want to protect them, but also let them, you know, be able to have the freedom to make their own mistakes and stuff. Have you thought about how that might show up for you?
Yes, definitely. If our daughters are anything like my husband and I, they're going to be pretty stubborn. I've always been the kind of person that has to make the mistake and learn it myself. With that being said, the dangers out there are a lot different than they were when I was a teenager.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, trying or experimenting with things, a lot of them now are laced with crazy things that can take your life in an instant. The dangers online are very different than they were when I was coming up. So there definitely will be a lot of very thoughtful consideration that goes into it, making sure we educate them. Ultimately, though, I know that they have to make their own decisions. And my goal is to keep open communication and shameless communication around all of the topics so that when they do mess up, they can come to us and we can help them get out of the situation or mend the situation that they've messed up. I think what I remember from being a teen was like, I was so scared to mess up because if I messed up, I was bad. So I think it's important to, you know, let them be teens or let them make the mistakes in that sense. But to be there again, not as a friend, but as a parent to help them and correct their mistakes and mend whatever relationships they may break or friendships they may break, things like that. And being very vocal about certain topics. The main one that pops into my mind, especially that I'm having two girls, is like pregnancy and talking to them about topics like that. And I feel like when I was growing up, I don't even think I got that talk from my parents. It was from a friend that told me about like what it was or whatever. And it was misinformation for sure. Like the thing is like, that game telephone where you like say something and then pass it along, it turns into craziness. So we want to be able to educate them properly and allow them ultimately to make their own decisions, because what we don't want is someone sneaking out of the house or, you know, trying certain things and doing things and getting into an accident or something crazy outside of our house. Again, we want to be able to have them talk to us, confide in us so that we can help them make the best decisions. And then from there, it's really relying on them to make the best choices that they can make from all of their upbringing and leaving the rest to prayer and trust that they'll do it.
Yeah. Hope we did our best.
That's all we can do, you know? Like they are ultimately their own individuals. And I'm speaking about this so objectively, I think, because I'm so far away from it. That's really hard to imagine an 18-week-old baby that's in my belly right now as a teenager. Like, I don't even know what her face looks like yet.
Who knows what our world's going to look like by the time she's a teenager. That I think that's both beautiful and terrifying. Given how our world looks sometimes right now. I'm curious, and by no means do you have to share if you're not comfortable, but when it comes to, I feel like so many people can relate with broken relationships with their family, with their parents. And when it comes to children, I mean, your daughter's still very young, but when the topic does get brought up about your parents, do you plan on explaining to her your story, or do you plan, I mean, how do you handle those conversations when your parents get brought into conversation? Or has it even happened yet, I guess?
Yeah, it has not happened yet. My husband's family, like I mentioned, they're incredibly loving and supportive. And Blakely is the first grandchild on one of the sides of the family. So they are just completely and utterly head over heels in love with the girl. They take care of her all the time. They help out with her. They make up for what my parents have missed out on with being a grandparent. It's really amazing that they have the time, the resources, all of that to do that and spend so much time with her. And I swear grandma's her favorite person on this planet. I mean, even over mom and dad most days. It's very sweet. I'm very happy she has that connection and with the other members of his family too. I don't think she understands that every person has a mom and a dad and therefore has like two sets of grandparents. I think she just knows she has her grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandpa, and that's kind of is what it is at this point. I fully plan on sharing with her age-appropriate information. just as I will about most things as life goes on. The same way mm-hmm. I plan on explaining maybe down the road there's some friend that we decide to not spend time with because our values just don't align, or they're mm-hmm. maybe choosing to do some things that we don't agree with, or vice versa. It's just not working out. So that would look something like, you know, they're allowed to do what they want to do and live their life. But because, you know, with us and what we're doing and how we want to live, we're just going to live separately from them. Mm-hmm. And that's what it'll look like on the surface. She doesn't need to know yeah. all of the details right. of anything that's happened. And I don't plan to ever badmouth them. Like, that's not in my interest. Yeah. With my parents, obviously what they did was incredibly hurtful. I choose to believe that they did the best with what they had. How they've handled it now is where I personally have a problem, where that door is not open, which means the door to my children is not open. I won't allow my children to be around anyone who doesn't, quote unquote, have my back in parenting. No one that would speak negatively about me to my children. And then on top of that, people who I don't feel are adding value to my children's life, especially a family yeah. member, you know, if they're not able to teach them any valuable skills, or they just don't have a backbone. And that's personally how I feel mm-hmm. about my parents. As they become adults, that is their choice. If they want to seek out my parents' contact info and they want to reach out to them, they're welcome to. At that point, though, I will give them more details and let yeah. them make their own informed decision. I'm not going to shut the door for them when they're consenting adults, but I will let them know, you know, yeah. what's up.
Yeah. 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 I think that's beautiful. And I feel like a lot of people probably have a hard time navigating what they want to do in that scenario. And everyone's situation is so unique and so different and what they're willing to tolerate. You know, some people have redemptive stories after all of that and some don't. And I think that's fine. And I love what you said about just relating it back to sometimes we have friends or we have family members that just don't align with the life we want to live. And creating those boundaries, I think, is really, it's a great learning lesson for life, for even kids or teens, because I feel like a lot of us didn't learn that as adults. And, yes. you know, like you said earlier, we have to learn in our own way. We have to make our own mistakes to really realize that sometimes. But there are moments where I'm like, man, if we would have talked more about how boundaries are okay, maybe I wouldn't have had certain people in my life that were at certain times. But then again, like you said, you have to learn in your own way, and kind of it adds to your story and kind of the character you've created for yourself. So,
yeah, I have gotten really good at certain things, which I attribute to therapy, because it's literally what the different people I've worked with have taught me. But boundaries are one thing that I am really good at. I've gotten really, really good at them. Sometimes to the point that I'm like, oopsie, like I set too many boundaries. Now I have like too much free time, or like, wait a second. I realized that like I set too many boundaries and now I'm like bored, or like, wait, hold on. So it's a learning curve, right? Sometimes we go too far in the opposite direction.
Oh yeah,
direction.
For sure.
But it's definitely a balancing act. And I think on the topic of boundaries, I've gotten into some really interesting conversations with people before around it. And I think that the really important thing around it, I feel like it's very much a, I don't want to call it a trend because it's something we should do forever, but it's definitely newer conversation about setting boundaries, is you also want to make sure mm-hmm. that those boundaries are serving you and the other person appropriately, because it can't be mm-hmm. one-sided. Mm-hmm. We're saying like, I'm not going to talk to my husband about that because that makes me feel a certain kind of way. Like making sure when it's a relationship that you do want to keep open and you're just placing a boundary, that you're not making it like a suffocated situation for one side or the other, if it's something you want to still be in your life. But that's definitely something that I plan on heavily portraying to my children, and also being as self-aware as they can, because I am able to call myself out when I'm doing something wrong. And I'm very fortunate to have a best friend and a circle of other women who will also hold me accountable and be like, hey, how are you showing up in that right now? They don't make me feel guilty. Mm-hmm. They don't shame me, but they just say, hey, think on this. Like, how are you showing up right here, right now? And how do you think that's reflecting the result you're getting? And that can really help again, when you're looking at it, I'm not shaming myself either. It's just, huh, okay, we can do better. The that's just how I am is no longer valid. We can grow. Oh, we can change.
Yes, that is so powerful in so many ways. There, I love having a community that can support and love on somebody, but the accountability piece is, I think, what's super important, because we should be able to help elevate somebody to the person they want to be when we are around. If we want that for them, if they want that for themselves, to be able to be like, hey, like, I think we need to look at this because mm-hmm. I feel like we could show up better. And I think that's kind of cool in motherhood too, because I think moms, there's so much shame going around, and I feel like we've all put up this protective mechanism on our hearts because we just want to be the best. And it's caused us to almost be so sensitive to any sort of feedback or accountability that we can't have conversations like that with one another anymore, because it's immediately coming off as shame, which, believe me, there's mom shame out there, and it's a lot of unjustified, but there's also yes. a lot of really beautiful moments to have vulnerable conversations that isn't shameful, but more like, let's just help each other out. Let's be the best we can be by holding each other accountable.
I absolutely agree. And those conversations can be really tough. Something I've learned since moving to Minnesota is what Minnesota nice is. And that kind of like passive aggressive. Virginia Beach is very close to DC, which is a super confrontational place, especially driving there. So where I'm from, we're pretty direct. We're pretty like straight to the point. There's still plenty of people that avoid confrontation. But generally speaking, if there's an issue or there's something like that accountability needs to be held, it's an easier conversation than what I find here. Speaking a lot from my coaching experience, because I've worked with a lot of women, they come to me with their goals and we're working towards those goals. And more often than not, you're going to hit roadblocks because life is going to be life in no matter what we do. They've hired me as a coach because I'm able to hold them accountable. So I learned how to have the really gentle conversations and adapt accordingly, which I feel like is so appropriate for like probably 99% of mothers, because it's such a vulnerable time when we're new, we still have all those crazy hormonal changes going on, everything, if they're on a nursing journey, there's so many variables. If they're experiencing struggles in their relationship, all of those different things can really weigh on a person, where your approach is so critical of how you speak to them and where they're at to be able to receive it. But I think that is absolutely huge to have like a community of mothers, like you said, holding each other accountable, loving up on each other, supporting each other, and also able to have those tougher conversations when they're necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is my hope for like this podcast, that we just continue to spur conversations from these topics with moms, because it is so important to just break down those barriers and like lock arms with other moms and have these conversations that maybe feel taboo, but we just need to have them to be better for each other and better for ourselves. So, well, thank you so much for being here, for sharing your story, for so much wisdom. We are going to take a quick break, and then we are going to be back with Megan's Dear Mama monologue. So we'll be right back.
Dear Mama, give yourself some grace. Whether your story is similar to mine with a less than ideal childhood, or maybe you just feel unsure of yourself in this chapter, the biggest thing I've learned is that none of us have it all figured out. We're really just out here winging it. And yes, even the girl that looks so put together on social media. Remember to give yourself grace in each and every chapter of life, and especially in motherhood. Like anything else, that's a learning curve, and you won't necessarily be good at it at first. Take a breath, tap into your circle, and know that it'll all work out. We're here for you.
Oh, I love that. That was like a warm hug. Needed that today. Oh, thank you so much for being here again with sharing your story, being vulnerable. I know there are going to be mothers out there who can just who that resonates with, or can just take some of those tidbits and be related to maybe someone else in their life who they want to understand further. So I appreciate you being on, celebrating you today and every day, because life is such a gift, and I'm so glad you're here. And especially after you shared your story, I'm so glad you decided to be here. And look at you now, like such a testament to redemption and the beauty that life can give after such darkness. So where can everyone find you? Because I know people are going to want to see what you're doing and buy some of your clothes. Like, I'm about to go find some things for myself. So where can we find you?
Yeah. So on Instagram, it is empower_apparel, and empower is spelled kind of funky. It's MP. Those are my initials. OW and then HER, because it's all about women at Empower. Yeah. For my website, www.empowherfit.com. So that's empowherfit.com. That is where you can see everything. I have detailed blogs that go a little bit deeper in detail about my story in different aspects than we covered today. And that is also where you can shop everything Empower. I have a lot of really fun stuff happening this year too with the apparel. Yay. I am most active for socials on Instagram. So if you follow along there, I do all sorts of giveaways. There's new products coming. And then on the site too, you can learn more about our giving back initiative. We give back to women in need, both with time and money, and just a lot of really awesome things community-wise happening this year too. I can't wait to connect with all of you.
Oh, I'm so excited and so happy for you. I cannot wait to see what's coming in this next year and your baby, and it's gonna be wonderful. It's gonna be so wonderful.
I keep forgetting, like, now that it's 2024, I'm like, this year.
Yeah, it's the year. It's the year.
Yes, I'm so excited. It's been so great to chat with you, and really sharing my story is a way that I heal. So I truly thank you for having me on the podcast. And the last time I actually spoke to my dad to reach out to potentially open a door, he said that that would be a potential only if I did not talk publicly about my story. So I really appreciate you giving me this platform to be able to share my story, because it is mine to share. And I know the countless women I've already been able to connect with because of it, and how many more I'll be able to offer solidarity to. On that note, if anyone is struggling with any of the things I talked about today, my inbox is always open, and my email, you can find it on my website. If you need to chat or you need help finding your circle of support, I have a lot of different resources local to Minnesota, but also virtual as well. So you're not alone.
I love that. We're in this together, ladies. That is it for us tonight. And remember that you are not alone and your story matters and it should be shared. So, thank you so much for being here, friend. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Moms of the Night podcast, where we are on a mission to make motherhood, especially those middle of the night hours, feel less lonely. If you know another mama who could use these comforting words tonight, please consider sharing this episode with her. And don't forget to follow and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. If you're enjoying the episodes, a quick click on that 5-star button and leaving a review would mean the world to me. It's one of the many ways we can reach as many moms as possible who might benefit from hearing these conversations and words of encouragement. Your support means everything. Until next time.